We'll have you out of here so you get a couple hours sleep tonight. Our scripture passage this morning comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 35. If you'd like to turn there with me, Mark chapter 12, we'll be reading verses 28 through 35. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You're right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered him wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. The poem reads, "I love thee so, I know not how. My transports to control. Thy love is like a burning fire, my soul's eternal health. For thou to me art all in all, my honor and my wealth, my heart's desire, my body's strength, my soul's eternal health. Burn, burn, O love within my heart, burn fiercely night and day. To all the dross of earthly loves is burned and burned away. O light and darkness, joy and grief, O heaven begun on earth. Jesus, my love, my treasure, who can tell what thou art worth? What limit is there to this love? Thy flight, where wilt thou stay? On, on, our Lord, is sweeter far, today than yesterday. O Jesus, Lord, with me abide, I rest in thee where'er betide. Thy gracious smile is my reward. I love thee, Lord." Those were the outpourings of emotions from a man named Frederick Farber as he wrote down his feelings towards the Lord. Our scripture tonight, I obviously have read several times. Many of us have read it several times. But it became prominent to me several months ago when I started reading a new book called Heart, Mind, Soul, and Strength. The author of this book took the entire first chapter to say one basic point. And that point is that if Jesus took the time to say to this teacher, to this person who had questioned him, "What is the greatest of the commandments?" If he took the time to say to him, "The greatest of the commandments is these, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength," then how important must it be to us? Jesus understood, took the time to say that to him, so that we could understand how important it was. And all too often, the author of this book makes the point that all too often, we skim over this passage of reading and don't spend enough time in it to truly understand what Christ was trying to say to that man. So tonight, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us to take the time and sort of dissect what Jesus said there and find out what it is to truly love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. The heart is where Jesus begins. The comedian Mark Lowry has an interesting way of how he describes the heart. And I'd like for you to listen to it. I have Jim set up with it. Just a blurb of how he describes the heart for us. So Jim, if you'd play track 7 on there for us, I'll tell you when to stop it.
How many of you in this room, I'm curious, let's take a poll. How many of you in this room, by show of hands, are in love? You married people, you better get your hands up. How many of you are not in love tonight, but you have been in love at some point in your life? You married people, better get your hands down on that one. How many of you have ever, in this room, have ever had a broken heart? The rest of you haven't hit puberty yet, I guess. How many of you have ever seen open heart surgery on the Discovery Channel? Do you love that Discovery Channel? How many of you love the Discovery Channel? Admit it. I love it! Man, I love it! When those helpless little deer being chased by those leopards, man, I think it's cool. And the snakes are eating the chicken eggs, you know? Always eating better than I am. I was watching the other day, y'all, and they had open heart surgery on the Discovery Channel. It was fantastic. They laid this old boy out on the table. And thank God they can do that. If I keep eating Mexican food, I'm going to eat it. They laid this old boy out on the table. They put a towel over his head. I guess so, in case you knew him, you wouldn't get sick. And they cut him right down the middle. They ripped that chest cavity apart. And there it was. Looked like lasagna that was alive. It did. And they took veins, y'all. Did you know you got spare parts? They took veins out of his legs and put them up on his heart. You know, I don't know, but we're going to find out probably in about 6 months to a year what those veins are for. God didn't just put veins in you for no reason. That old boy's going to be walking down the street with a perfectly good heart. That old leg's going to give out. He's going to wish he had his veins. I watched them cut, sew, suture, snip, tuck. Man, I watched them work on that heart for about an hour. I tell you, it's a mess if you don't know what you're doing. They worked on that heart for about an hour, and I thought to myself, and to think someone would tell another human being, I love you with all my heart. You love me with your blood pumping muscle? I tell you, it lost something for me, children. You know why we say I love you with my heart, though? Because in Western civilization, the seat of the emotions is the heart. The seat of the emotions is the heart. I love you with all my heart. You broke my heart. Put your heart into it. The seat of the emotions is the heart. But not so in some countries. I'm serious. Some countries, the seat of the emotions is the kidneys. Some countries, it's the liver. The seat of the emotions. You ask that missionary next time he brings that 12-hour slideshow to your church. You ask him. Where is the seat of the emotions in the country he comes from? Somewhere it's the kidneys. Somewhere it's the liver. Somewhere tonight, a guy is telling his girl in some other language, I love you with both my kidneys. Or he might be saying, hey, baby, you make my liver quiver. It's not the same as the heart. It's not the same. Hey, but did you know what the seat of the emotions was in the Old Testament? Anybody know? You got it. The bowels. Look it up. The seat of the emotions in the Old Testament was the bowels. Boy, that'd run a lot of good love songs, wouldn't it? Don't tell my bowels, my achy, breaky bowels. I left my bowels in San Francisco. What'd they do for love songs? But the heart works. I mean, think about it, ladies. If you were in the Old Testament, can you hear your husband? He puts you in his arms. He goes, oh, baby. Oh, baby. Baby, you move me, baby.
Okay, we'll stop it there. You get the idea, though. Mark Lowry then goes on, in as serious of a note as Mark Lowry can be, goes on to explain that what God is interested in really isn't your heart, really isn't your blood-pumping muscle, as he's just described it. What God is interested in is instead, he's interested in the seed of your emotions. Where do your passions lie? How are you living for Christ? How are you loving him with all of your heart, with all of your passions? Not your blood-pumping muscle, but with all of your passions. Some of you who know me well know that I have a bit of a sickness, and that sickness is that I love to work with junior high students. There's not many people that are like that. I don't know why. It's just something that God gave me. I don't know. But I love junior high students. And when you get involved with junior high students, they're in their own little world. It's their own little thing. It's really an interesting world to be a part of. And you find out as you work with junior high students that they are passionate people. If you want to learn what passion is all about, spend a day with a junior high student. Because you see, their average school day, they start off their average school day in their first period. And maybe their first period is their favorite class, something like history. They've got a great teacher for history. They love to learn about history. And it's their favorite class. And they go in that class and they're excited to learn about Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War and World War II and the Revolutionary War and anything that they can get their hands on with history. And they leave that class and that passion all of a sudden has disappeared and they're on to the next thing. And they go through second and third period, and maybe by third period they're in a class with one of their best friends. And their best friend is in that class and had a lousy day because somebody has tormented them or picked on them or done something. And all of a sudden their passions shift from where they were into this friend. And they want to avenge their friend and all the feelings that they're having, and they become passionate about that friend. And then if they're a junior high boy, they go into the next period, which is lunch period, and they find out that it's their favorite food. And their passions suddenly rest in their favorite food, and they can eat five or six of it, no matter what it is, from slices of pizza to turkeys. It doesn't really matter. But that's where their passions are. If you want to learn what passion is for something, watch those kids. Look into your own life. It's from the heart. It's from our passions that true worship comes, where we're calling out on the name of God in reverential desperation, wanting and desiring more of what He has for us, wanting and desiring more of what His Spirit has living within us. It's from the heart, it's from our passions that we cultivate a yearning for the Word of God and the things that are taught within those hallowed pages of Scriptures. It's from the heart that we put ourselves in harm's way to let the rest of the world and those around us know who God is. If you want to find out who passion is in all seriousness, go to the Christian bookstore, buy a magazine or a book on the martyred church. You'll find out who passionate people are. Those people who put all their desperation, everything that they have, into ministering the Word of God, no matter where they are, no matter what's going to happen, no matter what the circumstances are around them. Those are passionate people. We're to love God with all of our heart. The heart can be compared to the engine of our love for God. The soul is next. This is the deeper part of life that you have within you. This is the person that not many sometimes may get close enough to know very well. These are the thoughts that are deep within you. If the heart is the engine, then the soul is the transmission for that engine. It puts things in motion. Listen to what James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15 says. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. What are these verses talking about within the believer? They're talking about their soul. About the believer's soul. What lies beneath? Can I make a challenge to you this evening? Learn these verses. Memorize them. Commit these verses to memory. Write them out on a note card. Carry them with you in your wallet or purse. Look at them. Rehearse them. Learn what these verses are. Why? Because this verse is explaining to you why we sin. Many times the temptations that arise within our lives are deep within. They're bubbling inside, waiting for an opportunity to surface. It's not God who tempts us, but instead it's us being tempted, allowing our own evil nature to take over. The soul. So how do we overcome this pattern of our lives? First of all, we overcome it by prayer. As the Bible says, looking to God who gives generously to those who ask. Secondly, let me make my second point by doing an experiment with you. In just a second, let me grab my watch here. In just a second, I'm going to give you a number. When I give you this number, I want you to not think of the number. I'm going to give you 10 seconds not to think of this number. And no matter what you do, don't think of the number, okay? I'm going to give you the number 8. I'm going to time you. When I say go, don't think of the number 8. Don't let it be in your mind. The number 8 cannot enter your mind. You ready? On your mark, get set, go. Okay, 10 seconds is up. Who didn't think of the number 8? Is there anybody? Why did you think? How did you not think of the number 8? You counted all the other numbers. That's very good. That illustrates exactly what I wanted to say. When you want to focus on something else, you don't focus on that thing itself. It's impossible not to think of something that you're thinking of, right? Let me say that again. It's impossible not to think of something that you're thinking of. So in our lives, when we're overcoming temptation, when we're working on loving God with all of our soul, what we need to begin doing is stop focusing on the things that God doesn't want us to focus on and begin focusing on those things that He set aside for us. It's clearly laid out in Scripture, Romans 12:2. What does it say? Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what God's will is, His good, perfect, and pleasing will. Do you see the two halves of the verse? Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Stop thinking about the things that you shouldn't be thinking of. Stop focusing on those things. But instead, in the middle of the verse, let your minds be transformed. See the two sides of it? God understood that we can't focus on the sinful things and overcome them on our own. Instead, we're supposed to focus on the things of God, the things that He's set aside for us, so that we can overcome them. The book Every Man's Battle illustrates this very well, where the author Kevin Arterburn takes the first chapter of the book to explain to his readers that to overcome lust within themselves, they need to begin a practice called bouncing your eyes. And he explains that if a beautiful woman's running by and you're starting to pay attention on that beautiful woman, you need to learn to bounce your eyes. We as Christians need to learn to bounce our eyes. We as Christians need to learn to bounce our thoughts. We as Christians sometimes even need to learn to bounce our entire bodies away from a situation that we shouldn't be in. That's how we begin to love God with all of our soul. With all of our soul. We're told also to love God with all of our mind. I wonder if oftentimes, even though this verse sort of gets glazed over because we're so familiar with it, even when we pay attention to this verse, if we glaze over the section on our mind. See, we look at things like the heart and the soul, and we consider them so spiritual, things that we know that we need to work on. But then we go over to the mind, and it seems like such an earthly thing, doesn't it? How do we develop our minds? We go to school. We go to elementary school and junior high school and high school, and then on to college and possibly a master's degree. That's how we develop our mind. How do we develop our mind? We read books like Shakespeare and Hemingway. How do we develop our mind? We watch the Discovery Channel. We watch CNN. We watch Animal Planet, whatever it may be. That's how we develop our minds. The mind seems like such an earthly thing, doesn't it? But in all truthfulness, when we're loving God with all that we have, our minds are so integral and so important in the mix. If we continue on with our illustration that the heart is the engine, and the soul, the transmission behind that engine, the mind would be the ignition. We need to start to develop and culture our minds so that they're focused on God, so that they're ready at all times to give an answer. How do we do this? Well, I've already asked you in one sense to begin doing it. Memorize Scripture. Put God's Word in your mind. Let it be there constantly so that you're always ready with a Scripture verse when temptation comes. Love God with all of your mind. Begin studying things like theology. Now, I know sometimes things like theology aren't always exciting to all of us, but they're important. We look at it and we say, it's confusing. There's 9 different answers to 9 different questions, and they all fit together somehow, but I don't understand how they fit together and they're supposed to fit together. Begin studying. Look for those answers. Read God's Word. Get into the Word. Know why God's Word says what it says. Have you caught in your Christian life yet, reading through the Bible, that God always has a reason for what He does? God always has a reason for the commandments that He gives. It's always to benefit the believer. But there's a reason behind it. It's not just aimless chatter. Parents, do you have time just to give your children busy work? God's the perfect Father. He doesn't have time just to give us busy work. There's a reason that He puts aside the things that He puts aside. There's a reason that He says the things that He says. Learn those answers. You find in today's world, that's becoming more and more of an important aspect in our Christian lives. I have had conversations with friends where we've been talking about apologetics and why we need to learn apologetics and so on and so forth. And the fact of the matter is our country, our culture, has gone through a major transition within the last 50 years. Some of you may remember growing up and going to your parents, and your parents say, I want you to do this, and you're going to do that, and this is how it's going to be done. And when you said, why? What was the answer? Because I said so. Because I said so. That's all the answer you need, because I said so. But why? Because I'm the parent and I said so. But why? Because if you don't, I'm going to bend you over my knee and I said so. That's the way it is, because I said so. But we've gone through this transition in our culture from that point into what we have today now, where the child comes to the parent and the parent says, we're going to go to church. We're going to learn the Bible. We're going to have devotions together. And the child says, but why? And with the answer, because I said so, in today's culture, it no longer works. The because I said so now sends the child off into another place, asking another person, but why? And sometimes the answers that we get back aren't always the answers that we give. We need to begin to be transformed with our mind, loving God with all of our mind. Because I said so doesn't work anymore. Have reasons behind it. Always, always be ready to give an answer. Also, we're supposed to love God with all of our strength. Our strength is the last on the list of how we're to love God. We're to give Him our love through our bodies as well. Brute muscle and power isn't always the only thing. He doesn't just mean strength. I don't know if you remember them or not. When I was early teens, there was a group of guys that went around called the Power Team. Does anybody remember the Power Team? The Power Team. They'd go into stadiums and high schools and wherever they could go, and they'd lift weights. And after they were done lifting weights and showing off their brute strength, they'd read Scripture and testify to people. We knew one person that was a part of the Power Team that was a family friend that would blow up hot water bottles and blow them up until they exploded. He was a part of the Power Team. He had strength within him. That's not the strength that the Bible means necessarily. Instead, what it's talking about is our strength, our energy, our time. How are we showing our love for God? Through our energy. Do we devote our energy towards things that are praising Him, that are showing the world around us how He lives in us and how He lives through us? Or are we devoting our strength and energy to things that are counterproductive within us? We need to devote our strength to God, to love Him with all of our strength. The strength is where the rubber meets the road, if you want to continue the illustration. The heart is the engine, the soul, the transmission, the mind, the ignition. These are the tires. This is where the world sees what we're doing and how we're doing it and why we're doing it. God wants us to love Him with all of our strength. How do we put this all together? How do we round it up? Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 may be familiar to you. Let me read it to you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Listen, here's where it all comes together. Here's where he says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You see how it all fits together here? Encompassing the complete Christian, we put on the belt buckled around our waist. The belt of truth. What does that have to do with? It has to do with our soul, doesn't it? The deep things within us. The breastplate of righteousness. Again, our soul. With your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Our strength. Take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows. Our mind. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, all relate to our mind. The complete Christian understands these things, understands the full armor of God. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. The complete Christian. Can I be frank and honest with you? This is a very, very, very easy message to preach. It's very easy for me to stand up here and say, you're supposed to love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, and don't you do anything else but love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. Very easy to preach this message. But on the other hand, it's a very hard message to live out in our day-to-day lives. It's very easy to read these verses and say, that's the Christian I want to be. That's the man or that's the woman I want to be. That's how I want to love God with everything within me, with my complete being, with all of my fibers. But when the rubber meets the road, when we're out in our day-to-day lives, it's very hard to live this out. It's probably about 10 years ago, the Pirates released a campaign, an advertising campaign to try to get fans into the seats and fill up the stadiums a little bit more, that they were the 110% ball team. Does anybody remember that advertising campaign? They're giving it 110% this season. I think that season they ended up with like a 200 record, if I remember right. It was pretty sad. Either the message never got through to them or else they didn't understand what the 110% effort truly was. You see, if they had understood what the 110% effort truly was, they would have gotten back to the basics. They would have understood how to do things and kept practicing the basics until they had those down perfect, and then kept moving on and forward until they were the ball club that they wanted to be, being a 110% ball club. My question for you tonight is, do you want to be the 110% Christian? Because it takes us getting back to the basics. Our prayer life, our time in the Word, how we fellowship with other Christians, how we spend time in worship, how we start our day and end our day. Do you know how important it is to start and end your day in prayer and in the Word of God? One of the best illustrations I've ever heard is hemming your day in with God. The person that I saw did it had a piece of fabric up with them. And the top of the fabric was hemmed very nicely, like what your pants would be. And then the bottom of the fabric had never been hemmed and had started to come unraveled and had started to come apart. Our lives are much the same. If we don't hem our days in, things begin to come unraveled and begin to come apart. We need to get back to the basics to be 110% Christians and then begin moving on and forward and further and further. Do me a favor, as we close tonight, take your hymnals one more time and turn back to hymn 242. Hymn 242, the verse 3 reads, "Give me, Lord, the burning heart to dwell within, to dwell within. Thine own nature, Lord, impart to free from sin, to free from sin. In thy footsteps place my feet, as thou dost will, as thou dost will. And if thorns my pathway meet, bid me be still, be still." We need to let God take over. We need to give Him the power. And love Him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for what Your Word says. We thank You that You took the time to say to this man what the greatest of commandments were. To help us understand what being a complete Christian truly is. To live up to the name Christian that You've given us, Father. Father, I pray that You transform each and every one of us. In areas of our lives where things just aren't fitting together right now, between our convictions for You and the way that we live. Father, bless us, Lord. Bless us as we go from this place. Keep us safe and bring us back again together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.